Here's a disclaimer before we begin our episode. This podcast contains adult language.
I'm super malhablada and I will not apologize for it.
So listener discretion is advised. We're binging mimosas.
You're drinking orange juice now?
No, I'm drinking a mimosa right now. It's different.
Okay.
It's very different.
Okay.
This is my super extended ass brunch. What up, mi gente? Welcome back. It's another hot, awesome, fabulous new episode of Como Se Dice. I'm your favorite host, Gina.
Oh my god, and I'm your favoritest host, Maggie.
Fuck off. We are back. It's been a little, we took a little breaky break, but we're here. We missed you guys. Did you miss us? Yes, I hear you. I hear you screaming it into the world that you missed us.
Oh my god. Okay.
So like, where the fuck have we been?
Where haven't we been? Let's talk about that.
Phew, to hell and back. You took a little vacation.
I took a vacation to go home and see my family, and it was lovely. And I know that you have been all around the Tri-State area with all of your weekend plans.
Oh my god, yeah. So when I was like, last episode, I was like, wow, I wish people would stop inviting me to stuff. They didn't hear me, and they were just like, sure, let's go to more stuff. So, you know, everyone's having a baby, so I'm doing baby showers. I'm doing birthday parties for children. I'm doing it all.
Yeah, you're doing, like, bridal showers, right?
Bridal showers, yeah, I had the bridal shower.
Everyone's getting married and popping out babies.
Absolutely, and I'm just there to catch bouquets, catch babies, catch whatever I gotta catch.
Catch babies. In the delivery room, you're like, pop, got it. She didn't fall.
Yep. Fucking touch down this baby.
Yeah, she didn't touch the ground. It's fine. Woo. Wow. Well, that's all of our stuff, yeah. What we've been doing.
That's it. We've just been super fucking busy.
It's been crazy. It's been a crazy time. And the seasons is
the
changing.
Place where we work is on fire.
Oh, yeah. Our work lives are so on fire that I feel like it has kind of like sucked the energy and like what we could do here in the podcast, because it was kind of like touch and go.
Absolutely.
But I'm not gonna talk about work. Let's just like,
nope,
no, we're not gonna talk about work. So let's talk about something like adjacent, which is our Tim scuffs.
Yeah, so what's like scuffing your Tims this week?
I feel like it's less of a scuff and more of just worry and panic and concern. And it's just all these things that have been happening recently. We got a hurricane that is just like tearing up the Bahamas right now, and Lord knows what it's going to do to Florida. And It's just like the Amazon is on fire, which is bad. Yeah. There are children dying that are going to be deported. It's just like all these bad things are happening, and it's just like, I remember when we talked about like getting a break from media.
Oh, yeah.
You just kind of like need a break. I feel like once you have your break, which I kind of had, and now I'm like in the thick of it again. Like once you've had your break and you come back, you kind of like are like, oh, like obviously news or whatever like didn't stop when I was ignoring it when we were on a break. And and it just kept going. So now you get like caught up with all the shit that's happening. And it's just kind of like so overwhelming because there are so many things that are just like horrible and wrong and are happening like all at the same time, that you're just like, what am I supposed to care about? And like, what do I need to focus my energies on? And like, what should I be more pissed at when everything is bad? It's like, how do you choose a battle in this age of shit?
I mean, I feel like in this age, this is really the age of Littlefinger, where we have to be fighting all the battles all the time on all the fronts, and then thinking about all the strategies and all the outcomes, and then like making our own outcomes for everything.
I mean,
like we need
to, how did Littlefinger do it?
He did it so well for such a long time. That's the thing. Like he was really on top, but then he got distracted because he definitely was trying to fuck And I think that's an important lesson for all of us to learn. We can do it. We can little finger our lives if we stop having sex.
Okay.
I mean, answer.
Let's, as a society, stop doing that for a little bit and see how we can redirect our energies.
You're welcome, everybody.
Oh my god. Okay, so what is scuffing you today? Or I guess like as of recent.
I got some scuffs. This happened like a couple days ago from when we were recording this. I have a friend, or like, I don't know, I don't want to use the word friend
an right associate.
Now, I'm a little annoyed. I have an associate who is in Japan, being a teacher of some sort. I don't know. He does stuff. He travels a lot. So he's in Japan. So, you know, basically our entire acquaintanceship just is hinged on us chit-chatting online whenever both of us are at a respectable time in our respective time zones. So we're having a conversation about novelas that he was watching on Netflix. And he suggested one. Not suggested, but he was talking about one. He was like, oh, this one's so great for XYZ reasons. And if you knew Spanish, I would say that you should watch it.
Okay.
And he's like, but you know, there's subtitles. And I was like, excuse me?
First off, fuck you.
Yeah. First of all, what? Yeah. And that is how I learned that my friend, who my acquaintance now, because I'm upset, who I've known since sophomore year of college, does not know or believe that I speak or understand
Spanish.
That's
really fucking rude. And like,
yeah, my feelings are really fucking hurt.
Did you tell him like, excuse you, but I fucking can't understand it and I can't speak it?
I did say that, to which his response, and this is verbatim, him, I can't even imagine you saying hola.
He seems like a catty little shit.
You know, on a normal day, I wouldn't say that, but today is not a normal day. So I've just been ruminating on that. And like, I feel very comfortable saying how pissed off I was about it because I know he doesn't listen to this show.
Okay, good. Well, fuck him. Yeah. I mean, even if he did listen to it, I'd be like, you need to fucking reevaluate yourself, bro.
Yeah, reevaluate this friendship, bro.
I mean, it's one thing to be like, oh, I didn't know, even though I've known you for so long, that you could speak or understand Spanish, but then it's another thing to be like, I can't even imagine you even saying, like, that's like, you know, put some respect on my name, I'm gonna fucking cut you.
Yeah, I know, like, respect me. But so that's scuff number one, and I feel like I'm definitely gonna remind, now that I've thought about it all over again, I'm gonna hit him up when it's not like a weird time in Japan and just be like, bro,
it feels like coming out. Wait, but what, but like, for the recommendations, like, what novella was he talking about?
Oh, I have no idea. I once the whole I don't think you speak Spanish happened, everything went blank.
It went dark.
Yeah, all I saw was red and my ancestors weeping.
Yeah, like maybe ask him, when do you guys get on like good terms? Because I am always down for like Netflix recommendations.
Yeah, he said one of them was like a really funny rom-com type. He was like, you'll like that. And I'm like, you don't know anything about me.
Clearly not, but I would like that, so.
My other thing, and I feel like such a traitor discussing this with you, who is not a Swiftie, but I have to, you know, I have to get it off my chest. Lover, Taylor Swift's, I want to say this is her 8th or 9th studio album. It's not good. It's not good. That's my hot take. It's not.
And what about it is like missing for you?
So the reason I liked Taylor Swift was it. This is going to sound horrible, but let's all remember collectively that I have admitted before to not having good taste in music. So with that, I will continue what I'm about to say. I like Taylor Swift for the same reasons I like Eminem. What?
I'm so embarrassed right now. Why?
I know. And it's not because they're both white, but they both discuss in their music either A, shit that has happened to them, or B, shit that happens to a lot of people that is just relatable, you know?
But couldn't you say that about like a lot of musicians?
No, I could not say that about a lot of musicians.
Okay.
Because you know why? Because a lot of these musicians will start out being like, oh, my life is hard. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. And then 2 albums later, it's like, I'm rich, bitch. And I can't follow that transition. Mm. But Eminem, for his whole career, has been angry. And I'm like, yes.
I mean, that's so funny because that's like the exact reason why I fucking hate Eminem. Like, there are more reasons, but that's, like, the main one. It's like, dude, you're so rich. Okay. Like, can you just get over it? Could you just have, like, bought, like, so much therapy that you're, like, fine? Like, you're okay now?
No, bro. I mean, putting to the side that he's misogynist and homophobic and his lyrics do reflect these attitudes, putting that to the side.
Ignoring that for a moment.
And ignoring that for 2 seconds. Yeah. I not all his albums have been great, but I fucking jam out. You know?
No, I don't. Anyway, I can't.
Moving back to Taylor, she has always perpetually been in a process of being broken up with, which is how I feel about my life until very recently, obviously. And that's something I can rock with. I can rock with sadness. I can rock with white girl depression. I can rock with that because A, it's not real, and B, I too have been broken up with, but I too have been in like tumultuous romances. You know, I'm there. I'm into the woods with you, girl. But this album lacked that.
Because she had no drama to talk about?
She had drama. That's what I don't understand. There is drama. Taylor is a moth to the drama flame. You know, and I get it. She made up with Katy Perry, so that drama's gone. But like, come on, girl. Come on, girl. You couldn't dig into your drama closet and look at some old shit, get mad about it again, write a song about it, deliver me a hit.
I mean, I had heard that one song with like the dude from Panic at the Disco, and it seems kind of like
that song is cute. That song, I don't love it. It's a little bop. It's not as boppy as some of her other singles she's dropped before an album debut. It's bop. You know, it makes me feel good about myself. That's great.
I thought she was talking about. I mean, granted, I really haven't listened to the whole song, but like, I thought there's that like moment that she's like, oh, you say it in the streets and it's something, and then you say it on Twitter and it's something.
First of all, you're thinking about 2 different songs.
Oh my God.
Okay? Panic at the Disco, aka Brandon Urie, is in a song called Me with Taylor Swift, wherein she talks about herself. The song you're referring to about Twitter and saying it in the street, that song is called, oh, it has such a long title, You Need to Calm Down, or as we say in Swifty time, YNTCD.
Wow.
Yeah. Anywho, that song is basically about, that song is a little problematic for me personally because the video for that song is like, I love gay people. Here are all the gay people that I know or could find last minute to do this video.
Really?
Shoot.
Literally.
Why?
Are there so, why is it just like gay themed?
Honestly, she explained her reasoning behind it, but my reasoning behind her reasoning is that this song dropped close to Pride Month or during Pride Month. It dropped during Pride. She's quote unquote politically motivated now. And also like her explanation is that one time she's friends with Todrick Hall. And if you don't know who that is, I don't even know how you found this fucking podcast. She's friends with Todrick Hall, and one day, like, her and Todrick were in the car, whatever, whatever, and Todrick looked at her, and he was just like, if your son was gay, what would you do? And she was like, she's like, in that moment, she realized that it was unclear where she stood on things to her fan base, because, like, she told him, she's like, then he would be gay. That's it. What is there for me to do? This is a good answer. It's a great answer. But she was like, I realized it was very unclear, like, what I thought about these things. So this is me making it clear. And I'm like, bitch, having a music video that's an entirely Rainbow Technicolor production featuring Billy Porter for 30 seconds, if that, is not really making your stance clear. But I'm still with you because I see where you wanted to go.
I have no idea who Todrick Hall is, for the record, of this podcast. So
okay, you know what, we're gonna get to okay. that later.
You have so many feelings about Taylor Swift right now.
I do. Overall, getting back to the main scuff, overall the album is not strong. There's not a lot of bops, there's not a lot of hits. her slow songs are so uber slow that they almost sound like beats that have been completely deconstructed. The production value is whack as fuck. I don't know if Jack Antonoff had a hand in this album, but like, no, bro, this wasn't it. This wasn't it for me. And there's a lot of the Swiftverse is feeling the same way, although they won't say it out loud because they're a bunch of scaredy cats. But like, this album is being compared to her last two very good pop albums, which were 1989 and Reputation. So like, this is a full pop album. That's what it's supposed to be, despite the fact that she has one track with the Dixie Chicks. Also, would just like to add, she wasted the Dixie Chicks on that track. Just wasted them. It was a waste of Dixie. And I am offended by that, to be honest. Love the Dixie Chicks.
What? You love the Dixie Chicks?
I love the Dixie Chicks.
Wow, bro.
I love them. All right? You ever hear Emily play that fiddle?
No, I have no idea what you're saying.
Well, we'll get to that later. When we're looking at Todrick Hall videos together.
Oh my god.
So yeah, so it was just, it's very much a miss for me as a pop album. If she wanted to do a pop country thing all over again, listen, I'll ride this wagon till the wheels fall off. I'll take this horse to the Old Town Road if that's what she wants to do. But I need her to decide what we're doing. Like, we're going to be happy. We're going to be sad. What are we doing, Tay Tay? And please invite me to some of your listening parties so I can give you this advice in person.
Wow.
And that is my scuff.
Okay, well, perfect segue. Perfect. Let's get into, after that very passionate, I don't know, belief system in Taylor Swift. Let's talk about our topic for today.
Yeah, so our topic of today is an offshoot of the last episode that we did on toxic masculinity and machismo. We decided to flip the, well, not we, you decided to flip the coin.
Don't at me, because you just threw me under the bus. Okay.
Just saying. You decided to flip the coin and kind of investigate the other side of that, which is, I guess we're going to use the term toxic femininity, which is a fucking mouthful of M's.
Yes, it is.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to discuss toxic femininity in the same way that we discussed toxic masculinity. So basically what we're trying to get at, the heart of what we're trying to get at today is, are women trash?
Well, I guess that was like the hypothesis that we set for the part one of this conversation, which was the men. So in which you said that men were 100% trash.
100,000%
So then trash, would you say that women are 0% trash or 100% trash? Like, where is your, where on the spectrum are you?
Yeah. There's a spectrum of trashiness. Well, before we get into like the percentage of trash, let's kind of define what we mean when we're talking about toxic femininity. Okay. Because some people might be hearing this for the first time.
Yeah. Okay.
The same way they might be hearing Todrick Hall.
Correct. Okay. So let's give it like a background to it. I don't think that maybe there's like a Google definition for this, but I'm not sure. I didn't do that kind of research for this episode.
I also did not Google it. I did a light Google, but I didn't want my views on it to be tainted by Google. And there are definitely like people who have discussed in long form articles toxic femininity. I didn't really agree with how they posed.
Were they males or were they females?
They were females, yeah. I really didn't agree with how they were posing it. So how I pose it is, I really, truly, and strongly think, first of all, that toxic feminism is something that exists. A lot of people on the internet were like, well, this doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. It does. You know, this isn't Santa Claus. It exists, and it exists primarily as the direct byproduct of patriarchy.
Okay.
You know, I think the toxicity comes from the fact that women often, whether it be by choice or whether it's for survival, internalize the patriarchy so much that they make their own identity as a woman entirely performative. And then they attack other people who don't like follow this performance that they feel needs to be set. And it's this idea of the gender binary, man-woman binary, is also not just a byproduct of patriarchy, but that binary is very, it's something that I feel women execute violence in the name of this binary more than men do. And I'm not referring to physical violence. I'm referring to like verbal, emotional, mental violence. Like, to make it like more plain, I feel like women who were also assigned female at birth and then grew up and continue to be in this role of woman, I feel like that they do not know how to behave or how to treat people who might have been assigned male at birth and who are now living as women. Like, that's just not something we have the tools at our disposal to deal with. And that's a huge problem. Like, I don't really think I'm that problematic, but because I'm assigned female at birth and I'm still rocking with that title, and I'm on one side of the binary, like, yeah, it's all part of, like, it all creates this violent system towards people who exist outside of binary, the binary agenda. So that's is toxic femininity.
There is an argument to be made that the toxicity in females is a byproduct of the patriarchy, but could we also give an argument to say that like toxic masculinity is also a byproduct of the patriarchy?
Absolutely. And I think it is, but I think the difference between those two separate byproducts of the mm-hmm. same thing is that one thing grants a group right. power, and the other thing grants a group absolutely nothing. So like toxic masculinity, it gives more to men than it's taking away from them. Toxic femininity does nothing but, well, I mispronounced that. It's fine. It takes away, and it takes and takes and takes and takes. And it doesn't just take away from women. It takes away from non-binary femme people as well. The same way toxic masculinity takes away from non-binary masculine people.
I guess also I think it's like what you were talking about, like violence. Could you give me an example of the kind of violence that you're talking about between the two, whoever identifies as female and then like to the person who identifies as male, that you're saying that there's like this disconnect that creates violence?
Oh, so I don't think the disconnect is between people who identify as male versus people who identify as female. That violence is a whole other right. episode. Okay. That violence. I think the violence comes from people who are on a similar gender spectrum, if you will, but are at different opposing ends of it. So for example, I think one of the smallest and most common acts of violence that occurs is when we oftentimes cisgendered people very simply and easily and without thinking about it, they misgender other people. They use the wrong pronouns. Like, someone shouldn't have to tell, I'll use myself for example, someone shouldn't have to tell me that their pronouns are they more than once.
And you think that these people like do it because they like can't be bothered to remember the pronoun?
I think so. I think a lot of people do it because they can't be bothered to, you know, open up their vocabulary to meet everybody.
So it's kind of like a form of being like closed-minded or even like
exclusionary. Yeah. And I think it's also like a small form of violence when people are like, oh really, why? None of your fucking business why, because I said they them. I don't say hi, my name is Gina, and no one comes at me and say, well, why is your name Gina? Because that's my right. name.
Okay. It's even like discriminatory,
right?
Okay, now I get where you're coming from.
That's a big, I think that's a really big part of toxic femininity that sometimes goes ignored, because when we are talking in a lot of feminist spaces or purported feminist mm-hmm. spaces, intersectionality really gets left behind. And I think even when it does get included, people hear intersectionality and they're like, okay, we got to include Black and brown people. But it's more than that.
Yeah.
Intersectionality needs to include all the LGBTQ plus community. And often the T is what's forgotten the most.
My, I guess, like, thoughts about, or like the examples, like the kind of person that I picture when I hear toxic femininity or like think about it, I would say that it's like somebody, and I guess like, I guess I'm talking like cisgendered, like a cisgendered woman kind of conforming to patriarchal ideas of what women should be and how they should act. So they're very kind of like rigid in gender roles, you know? I think they also, I think that also this person could like leverage themselves by using these patriarchal norms to their advantage in a way that they can like either get over on somebody or just kind of like help them succeed in some kind of way. And they also, I guess, like between that, the conforming of like, or subscribing of like a double standard, they're like, again, goes with like the gender norms. So my example for this would be, I hate when I see like women hitting men. I hate that anybody, like even when I was little, like I never like play fought, like jugar de mano. I never was like that. So I'm just like, ugh, don't, if you're not going to touch like in a kind, loving way, then you shouldn't be touching at all. But like, you know, you see on the news every time when like a dude hits a woman, which is not okay to do. But he hits a woman and then, you know, like all shit breaks loose and blah, 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 blah. And then obviously he's the bad guy. Obviously he hit her and she's the victim and stuff like that. But you never, you rarely ever see a woman, a celebrity, if you know, a athlete, a regular schmo lady ever get in trouble for hitting a man or like physically abusing a man.
I disagree. There have been women who have gotten in trouble, not to the same amount as like men have gotten in trouble, but there's women of note who have gotten in trouble because they're man.
Who?
Emma Roberts, for one.
Emma Roberts?
Hope Solo, for two. Hope Solo, if I'm not mistaken, beat the shit out of some guy. Her man. Her man.
But she didn't really get in that much in trouble. Like she didn't.
She got benched.
I mean, but she still plays soccer, right?
I mean, she retired the next year. And I'm saying retired with quotation marks.
I just think that like there are the double standard of like men hitting women is not okay, but like if a woman hits a man, that's okay. There's like holes in that. And I think that like nobody should hit anybody. If you're gonna be real feminist about it and be like wanted to be equal, either we all beat the shit out of each other or we don't touch each other at all.
I mean, personally, and I don't mean this as like a political thing, but me personally, I'm of the school of thought of we all beat the shit out of each other.
Fine, but we have to be on the same page, you know, just because like someone who is bigger than you and is more efficient in their beating than you are, then like we can't be like all upset and like outraged. Either we all beat the shit out of each other or we don't touch each other. I'm in the school of let's not touch each other, but you know. If we want it to be a free, like, it has to be equal. That's the whole point of, like, isn't the feminism is to be treated equally and to be their equal?
I mean, first of all, we'll never be their equal because women are superior in all ways. But hot take. I don't know. I think the problem with applying this we need to be equal logic to physical violence is that, like, there's no sort of consent that happens when it comes to physical violence. I mean, unless you're professionally a fighter and you're like, I, a professional woman fighter, agree to come into contract and fight a professional man fighter, both of us whom are professionals and understand what we're doing and give each other permission to do this as sport. Like, unless it's that kind of thing, there's no realm in which consent between people of opposite sex hitting each other works.
But hence why like we don't hit each other at all.
I mean, speak for yourself. Please stop saying we
as in like the human race stop hitting each other.
Okay. I mean then I'm out of that mix because I've definitely put the pause on some gentlemen.
I've seen women here in New York just like berate and actually beat on dudes before, and the dude is just like cowering there and like clearly upset about what's happening to him, A, because it's probably very hurtful physically, emotionally, but also like really fucking embarrassing that someone's like yelling at you in public on the street. But I've seen that. And, like, nobody said shit to this woman. No one said shit to her. Be like, hey, don't talk to him that way. Like, what are you doing? Like, yo, chill out. Like, nothing. But, like,
because they didn't want to get their ass beat.
Think about it in the reverse. If you would have saw a man berating, like, verbally berating a woman and even putting hands on her, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't want to get my ass beat.
But me either. But, like, do you think, like, a man would have stepped in and been like, yo, dude, like, chill. Like, or a group of men, let's say. Like, not, like, women. But even though some women get real fucking gully.
I don't know. Personally, because you placed the scenario in the city of New York, I say no on all accounts. No one steps in on all accounts. If you put this scenario in a different location, then we can talk maybe yes, maybe no. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, in New York, I don't fuck with anybody. Like, I see somebody get stabbed, I'm like, I didn't see anything. However, like, if I were in a different city, I, like, would you have said something? Would more people have stepped in?
If I'm in a city of normal human beings, yeah, and not a bunch of fucking psychos who are angry at our trains all the time. Yeah. I could see someone stepping in the man-beating woman scenario. I do agree. They're less likely to step in on a woman beating a man.
Which I think goes back to, like, our first episode of this whole, like, toxicity thing. You brought up a really good point about, like, toxic masculinity makes it to where men who are abused, who are raped, less likely to report these kinds of things. Because it's like, oh, mm-hmm. that can't happen to you. Or, like, that's not a real thing that can happen to you. Or they're just, like, ashamed or embarrassed or whatever. So I think that kind of goes, like, within, like, we share some branches in this whole tree of shit.
No, listen, I'm a big believer. Although I do believe in we should all just consent to a certain level of violence. I also believe that if someone crosses your line, no matter who they are, report that shit.
A part of my, like, vision of this, like, toxic feminist person is, like, using abuse in any kind of way. So obviously, like, you know, don't hit your man or whatever. But I think also, like, abusing other women. And I think recently in the news, we can point to women that have, like, perpetuated the abuse of other women. Especially, like, young girls, like, mm-hmm. the whole Jeffrey Epstein bullshit, this whole case, like, like, his woman, Jocelyn and Maxwell, or whatever her name is, like, she was, like, a madam, but also then participated sometimes in, like, the abuse and, like, just, like, molestation and whatever of these, like, young girls. It also goes to other people. Oh my God, that thinks, remember we were talking about thinks, which is the period underwear?
Yeah.
Thinks is like a, was like a startup for underwear. People don't know about this. That women, that was supposed to be like very body positive to women and all this stuff, where you can like literally like have your period and just like bleed into the underwear and nothing will happen. There's no stains. There's no like leakage. And then you just like wash your underwear and it's like ready to go. Which to me is kind of fucking disgusting, but some people are into it. You know, whatever, floats your boat. But anyways, the woman who like co-founded Thinks, which now co-founded Tushy, which is trying to like make bidets happen.
Oh, I'm ready for bidets to happen. Just throwing that out there.
I mean, I love a bidet, but like Tushy is like this woman's like little like side project now, or like her main project, because she's no longer with Thinks. Because this woman, she had coworkers like, or a not a coworker, like who's the person, an employee, alleged that she like sexually like harassed her.
Yeah, I heard the groping.
Yeah, she like groped her in fucking inappropriate way. She was also like just generally inappropriate at work, even for Thinks at the time, which is like hipster startup, you know what I mean? So like if you're like the overly inappropriate, I should say, and people who have like high tolerance of inappropriateness in general, and this is just like not corporate America, it's just like you guys work in Williamsburg or whatever, like this is a serious fucking problem. And that woman like just like scathed by, like nothing happened. Like they gave her like CV money and she has Tushy now.
What is CV money? Do you mean VC money?
That's what I meant. VC okay. money.
For anyone,
I was like, what's the correct term for that? CV is for the resume.
Yeah, that is for the resume. For anyone who's not aware, VC money is venture capitalist money. It's the money that rich people give you to start a business.
Right. And CV is for your resume.
CV is a huge waste of time.
Okay, so now that we cleared that up, you know, that other bitch who was Me Too bitch, also another toxic
Oh,
ass bitch.
Aja Argento?
Yes, like you're all in the fucking like in the front lines of Me Too and all of this and all this, and then it comes out, oh, you fucking sexually molested this fucking a teenager,
Yeah.
you dirty bitch, a teenager. So you're fucking nasty. And then she had to like fall back, pay this dude out, and then be like, oh, we don't talk about it anymore. And then she just like ceased to exist from like the Me Too movement.
I mean,
These are the kind of trash ass people I'm talking about.
I get what you're saying, but to the flip side to that is like, how many men get away with the same exact shit?
Correct. I mean, and they have for a long time until we had Me Too and like.
Even in the era of Me Too and Time's Up, dudes are still getting away with this shit.
They for sure are, but you're less likely to even like take a look at women, even though women can be the sexual harassers in the workplace. Do you know what I mean? They can molest you.
Technically, we've achieved equality there because we're getting away with it
I
and they're
guess.
getting away with it. Okay. There
Perfect.
you go.
And then lastly, I think it's like a rejecting of other I get, ooh, yo, we didn't even do this together. And we're like symbiotically like linking to each
Oh
other.
my God.
Because my last note was rejecting women of color or femme bodies because they aren't like you.
Yes.
Wow, bro. Like, are
Going
we friends or what?
touch friends.
Wow. So yeah, so that in conclusion, that is my picture perfect toxic feminist in body form.
That's a lot. We really gave these people a lot to think about.
I mean, it's a lot to think about. I
It
think it's
is.
like, you know, this is like not really talked about, and then you have to also kind of like as a woman reevaluate like, yo, am I being the best person that I can be? Do I have
Probably not.
biases? Do I extort certain things for my benefit, etc.?
Do you weaponize your femininity?
Yeah, do you weaponize it? Exactly, because
No,
you
I
know men are gonna
was
like,
asking you. I was directly asking you.
oh, me, sorry. I was like, yeah, good point. Good point, but no, I don't think I do, just because I'm not, I was never really about that game, you know? Not when I was dating, not when I was younger. I didn't really like that kind of attention. I didn't think it was, you know, like it didn't give me any worth for me personally. And then I also was just like, this makes me really uncomfortable because it's like, we all know why you're here. You know, like I don't like flop my hair and be like, hey.
I mean, I can't tell if you're describing flirting or weaponizing your femininity.
Oh, I mean, weaponizing in the way that, I mean, what do you mean? Like, okay, so weaponizing, I feel like to me is like you know, hike up your skirt and you kind of like toss your hair and then like you pretend to be interested in some guy and then he buys you a drink and then you're like, bye. You
I
know?
mean, is that part of it? Sure, that's part of it. It's basically like relying on your feminine wiles to manipulate a situation. That's what I mean when I say
I
weaponizing.
don't have feminine wilds. I'm just wild. I'm just wild. I'm just a mess, is what it is.
Yeah, okay, great. That's it. That's the episode. I'm just a mess. That's it.
That's it. I have no feminine wild. I mean, do you feel like, have you, or do you, I mean, not currently, I guess, but like prior to your serious relationship, like use your femininity to, you know?
Yeah, 1,000%, 1,000%. Guilty. Yeah.
But do you feel guilty about it, or you're just like, this is part of the game? This is part of like the dating game, or it's part of
No,
the
I
I
mean,
gotta like step on my shit at work game, or
yeah,
whatever.
have I weaponized my shit outside of the realm of dating? 1,000%. Outside of the workplace? Yeah, I've just, listen, I'm a short person. I'm not very strong. I use the weapons I have.
The resources.
Yeah, I use my resources wisely. You know, my body is a weapon, but not in the way that I want it to be.
I mean, it really hinders you. Do you remember that dude, that security guard that would like,
Bro, don't bring security guard into this.
it was like a point of harassment,
He was
honestly.
harassing me, yeah.
And it was like funny, but thinking back at it now, I was like, yo, we should have fucking said something.
No, I did. I said something.
You said something to our boss about him, the guy harassing you, and
yeah,
he didn't do anything about it?
Of course he didn't do anything about it because he didn't take it seriously. He asked me to describe the harassment, which I did. And he was like, I think he's just like being nice or flirting with you. Try ignoring it.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I never knew this. Why didn't you tell me this?
Because at that point, like, I was like, okay, I guess I'm being sensitive about it.
Every time he would be, I would be like, yo, you better fucking hurry. Like, it would be like a thing that we had to like avoid. Yeah. I had to help you avoid him, I felt.
He also started calling me on my cell phone.
No, how did he get your fucking phone number? Because it was in the directory?
Probably, yeah. He started calling me to hang out.
Girl, stop. I never fucking knew that. Was that after the gig or was it during the show?
That was like when we started heading towards rap. Why do you think I left that show early?
Wow.
Yeah. Bitch, I went to go work in accounting. You think I really wanted to work in accounting? I wanted to get out.
I didn't think it was that... to that extent, honestly.
Bro, he was uncool. He was a very uncool guy.
Uncool? He was fucking harassing you. Like, serious harassment. Because the harassment that, like, I would see and you would tell us when you would, like, get back to the office was like, haha, but, like, well, kind of fucked up. But, like, now that you say all these other things, like, this was, like, fucking, like, very fucking weird and very serious. And also, I can't believe so fucking classic that this fucking guy, like, didn't do shit. Mm-hmm. About you telling him, like, yo, this dude harasses me.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what... I wish you would have fucking told me that because I would have literally gone straight up to what's-his-face's, like, CEO floor of that place and be like, one of your fucking workers is harassing one of my workers. What the fuck are you going to do about it?
Yeah. It was... And let me tell you. So, you know, I left that job, but the new job was across the street from it. So they were filming our job in that studio, but because I was in accounting, I never had to come over here, over to that other studio.
Yeah.
So one time I went because they were doing catering over there and we were like, let's go get some fucking catering and look at the sets because they're going to be cool. He caught me walking through and it was like a whole thing. And I was like, fuck. And I remember telling, because I was with some people from my office, and I remember saying, can we exit through the side door? Because you know how there was like a side door on the south.
Yeah, door. Yeah. We would always go out of that door.
Right. I was like, can we exit through the side door? And they're like, why? And I'm like, because that security guard like harasses me. And they're like, no, it's fine. It's raining.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, wow. Okay. So like we went out through that door and I literally scurried behind someone so he wouldn't see me leaving and wouldn't talk to me. And like I just acted like I was very deep in conversation with this other person and like eating my noodles.
Wow. That's really fucked up. And I'm so sorry that like even people that you work with were like, no, it's fine. Like they didn't take the harassment seriously.
Yeah. So at some point it had to turn into I had to stop taking it so seriously, even though it was. Everyone should still continue to report harassment when and where it happened. I had to stop taking it seriously because it was like affecting my comings and goings at work because this guy was on my shit all the time. And it was worse when there was like a late shift and you had to pass through that security booth at night. If he didn't do a lot of night shifts, but like if he was there at night, he felt like he could sort of stop you for longer. Because it was like, oh, you guys are on late, so there's not much going on. I'm just going to hold you here in my fucking security booth and, like, talk to you. And if you try to leave, you're just this rude person. I'm just going to fuck with you all the time. There would be times... Oh, this is fun. There would be times where, like, I would drive one of our cars into that lot past the security thing to, like, get something or unload. And then I'd be driving back out. And, you know, they have to raise the thing.
Mm-hmm.
The little barrier.
The guard, the rail or whatever.
There was one time he was in there. So I just like gave a little honky honk because I had to go. And instead of just lifting the shit, he came out. Did not lift it to talk to me at the window.
Be like, I don't have time. That's like almost being like pinned to a corner.
Yeah, that's basically, it's a trap. Because my options are get out of the car and... like abandon my vehicle.
Right, abandon the vehicle and like who knows what the fuck he would follow you or whatever, or just like ram through the barricade.
Yeah,
and then with the fucking car and be like I didn't stop because this guy was in the booth and like, and then people would be like, he's just being nice, and then you're like, right. Fuck. Wow.
And suddenly I'm paying for a damaged car.
And like the fucking replacement of the little like up and down thing.
Exactly. So yeah. That was a whole thing.
I'm just like, I feel so bad. I'm so sorry. I feel so fucking bad. I didn't know all of this.
Well, yeah, because once our boss sort of like rolled it off, that was it for me. Like, for me, that was a door closing to anyone like being willing to help me.
Oh my, but no. Oh my God. No, I would have fucking helped you. I would have started some shit.
We weren't really close friends yet. We just met each other. But we just met each other. Yeah.
Fuck, man. I just think that that's like a failure on his part. And he's fucking a trash ass man for just like excusing some shit. But then I think it's also like a failure on, fuck, it's a failure on my part. Because he was like, oh, funny, like lightly harassing you. And it was just like, funny, not fun. It was like the joke of the office, and you like took it in stride. So I was like, oh, I guess it's like not that serious, but it really was fucking serious. And then it's like also a shitty cop out from your other coworkers, who I assume were men and women, that were just like ignored you when you were like, I have a problem with that dude, and they're like, it's fine, it's raining, I want to eat my noodles,
right?
That, like, so many people failed you along this way.
Yeah, and you know what? When you look at the whole thing, I'm lucky because he never, like, did physically corner me and, like, try some shit. It was always just a very frustrating, verbal, cell phonal, calling the officer harassment, you know? Like, every time he called and I picked up, there was always some shit. Like, he always had some slick shit to say on the phone. And I'm just like, fuck having to pick up this phone. Fuck it. So, like, yeah, that's technically like the good harassment, because I wasn't hurt at the end of the day. I just fucking hated walking into the security booth, and I always came in through like the back.
Oh my God. People failed you. You were failed. Like, and then because like this person in power was just like, nah, it's fine. Then you're like, oh, I guess I'm being fucking like, I'm overreacting. But you weren't overreacting. Like, this is fucking serious. And I feel like this happens to people all the time. Like,
exactly. And could you imagine what it must be like for someone who's being both verbally and physically harassed to decide, okay, I'm going to tell somebody that this is making me uncomfortable, and have them say, oh, they're just being nice and like flirting with you. Can you imagine that type of systemic failure on like more serious harassment?
I think I would just like, I would hope that post Harvey Weinstein, that like that kind of shit wouldn't be overlooked anymore. Fuck. I didn't know you had gone to him. God damn it. What a fucking piece of shit. And I already hate this person on other things. Now I like really, I'm like, you are a real big piece of shit.
Yeah. I mean, look who he groomed to be his second in command. Of course he's a piece of shit.
Wow. What a trash ass motherfucking person. Mm-hmm. In this case, a trash ass motherfucking man.
Yep. But you know, it's sad because you really don't expect that behavior from, you know, fathers of daughters.
Right. Right.
Bringing it in there.
Right. Because he is a father of a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Piece of fucking shit, bro. Now I really want to, like, now I'm for putting hands on everybody.
But do you see? Thank you. This is the world I fucking live in. This is the world I live in. It's a world filled with verbal harassment and catcalling and bullshit. So, like, yes, I am a all hands on deck type of gal. But you know what? I respect that that's not the way we should be living.
No, we shouldn't be to this point where we're like, you know what? Gloves are off. And it's just like brawl. Right. Like a fucking scene of like Game of Thrones. Just like everyone charging at each other at one time.
Right. Like, I get that that's not the way to live. But so now that we've discussed a lot of stuff here, are women trash in the same way that men are trash?
Oh, God. I still believe that women are trash. I just don't believe that they're trash in the same way. It's like different categories of trash.
What's your... I feel like even though you don't agree, the consensus last episode was that men are 100% trash.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I'm also, like, referring back to the last episode, I was the one that was like, I believe everybody is trash. Everyone's a piece of shit.
That women are also 100% trash?
Yeah. I think everybody is trash. If you're a human being, you're probably a trash-ass human being. Because we're human, right? But I think that, like, men are trash in different ways than women. And, like, if you're gonna, like, I, in my mind, I picture it as, like, a spreadsheet. And if you're going to have, like, you're going to name each column, boop, 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 and then you're going to, like, have a tally and go down the spreadsheet of, like, who's trashier in this category than this other category. Like, the categories are not going to be equal because men are more trash in, like, let's say, I don't know, verbal harassment, like, sexual harassment, and then women are more trash in, like, covert, kind of like using your sexuality to your advantage. So it's like you both are doing wrong, but just in different ways, and maybe like two different like intensities, if that makes sense.
I dig it. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
And I think just like in general, like white women are trash.
Well, you're not gonna get an argument from me on that.
I wrote like so many names on these notes.
You did. Oh my God. I see a list of white trash women.
Yeah. And I said, and then I don't know. I was like fired up when I was doing this, apparently. I said, white women, uneducated and educated, voted for Trump and voted Trump into presidency. So you voted. And then I listed all the trash ass women that are either work for Trump or like are connected, like associated with Trump in some kind of way. Sarah Sanders, Kellyanne Conway, Betsy DeVos, Dana Loesch, Laura Ingraham, who literally gets under my skin so much. I want to fucking crack her in the face. So that's another one that I will save.
Oh, okay, Miss Dull Violence.
Christian Nielsen, Tommy Lauren, like these are all trash ass women. And I think like women voted in 2016, they voted against their own interests. And they voted this fucking guy, even after grabbed them by the pussy, they didn't give a fucking shit. And they voted for this fucking trash ass guy. So it's like, you know what? Like, you ruined it for everybody.
They did. I've always found it weird that, like, white women, based on the percentages we were told after the election happened, that white women didn't vote for their own person, which was a white woman.
Like, right?
Like, I would think they, I thought that Hillary had the white woman vote on lock. Not because maybe they all agreed with each other, but strictly on the fact of, like, she is a white woman. We, as white women, love other white women, and that's who we support. And the best way to, like, scrub the remnants of this black man out of the White House is to put one of our own in there. Boom. I really thought that was going to happen.
I thought people were going to vote for their vaginas, but, like, no.
Right.
That didn't happen. Also on my list, any woman who has ever signed a bill or supported the restriction of healthcare for other women.
Fair. Very fair. I like it.
So, yeah. And I go, oh, I feel like we're more passive-aggressive towards one another. That's what I wrote here. We see each other as enemies, but, like, not in a good way. Like, the Beyonce song.
Oh, yeah. Flawless.
Yeah. Like, we see each other as enemies and not for, like, jobs and shit like that, but, like, for the attention of men and fuck that. But that's, I think, of definitely, like, another, like, a for sure straight branch of patriarchy.
Yeah.
So after all of my bullshit, like, what do you, what, do you think that women are trash, 100% trash?
No, I do not believe that women are 100% trash. I do believe that, like, some women are 100% trash. Like, I've definitely met girls who I'm just like, wow, you're a fucking trash bag, bitch. Mm-hmm. And I really hate to use bitch when I refer to, like, other women because I see how pejorative it is. But, you know, that's just – it's in my lexicon. I use it. Whatever. I don't think that, like, as a monolithic unit, we are trash. I like to look at women as, like – to be super metaphorical, if that's a word. We're, like – a small animal that has been historically hunted and preyed upon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And through years and years of evolution, we've developed ways in which to avoid the hunters.
Or predators or whatever.
And the predators in a way to, like, not just protect ourselves from them, but also engage with them in such a way that we no longer feel so much as we are prey.
Mm-hmm.
That mind frame of we have to either align ourselves with the predators or defend ourselves from the predators, that need to align yourself, that right there, that's the toxicity. You have to become one with the oppressor so that you are no longer oppressed by them.
It's like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. because that's not how oppression works. Just because we become aligned with them in politics, in this, in that, it doesn't mean they will see us any less than the prey we've always been for centuries. So, like, a lot of this toxicity that we have towards our own selves,
yeah,
it's just traced back to millennia of subjugation.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, you were sold off for a dowry. Like, you had to think about something.
Exactly. We've been fucking subjugated. If you look at at the text of every major religion that purports itself to go back hundreds of thousands of years, we have been, to borrow a line from the Bible, from the beginning, we've been subjugated. And these texts have lasted, and they've come into the future with us. And a lot of these things continue the subjugation of women, and they give reason for it.
Now, this is like a really great like encapsulation of what it is. But do you feel like this is also a perfect get out of jail free card?
Oh, that we can just blame it on the fact that we're subjugated?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's a get out of jail free card, because at some point a person in prison knows that they're in prison, and they can either choose to stay there and conform to what needs to be conformed to, or they can Andy Dufresne their way out. Mm. And just like Andy Dufresne, it takes time. It takes a spoon, a little chisel, a little Morgan Freeman, and you gotta crawl through shit.
Right.
That's 5 football fields to freedom.
But that's like, you come out on the other end and you are supposed to be like more evolved than.
Right. Like, Andy crawled through 500 miles of shit and came out clean and free on the other side. That's what we need to do. I'm letting you all know, like, you're in the prison. A part of this prison is your own making.
Yeah.
The choice to stay in the prison is yours.
Yeah.
Walk out or stay in.
I feel like we're all in the prison in some kind of way. Because even, like, patriarchy, like, it, you know.
Yeah. We're all in the prison. Some of us are still in the cell. Some of us are walking the yard. And some of us are in the shit tunnel.
Yeah.
Crawling out.
Right.
So it's like,
I love this metaphor. You know,
oh, thank you. I literally just came up with it, because as you can see, it's not in the notes. I just thought of it. Like, I saw him crawling through the shit and I'm like, this is it. This is the metaphor. Yeah, that's what it is. We're in the prison. We just have to decide where in the prison we want to be and whether we want to be outside of it.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. It's a prison. For some people, it's going to be a prison of the body. For some people, they are physically linked to an oppressor, and yeah, they need to either get on the train or get off the train. And the other people, it's a prison of the mind. I think for most, you know, speaking inside the binary, for most women, it is a prison of the mind. And then for, you know, prison of the body is a whole different,
yeah,
I don't even know where to begin on that shit. But for those of us who are just stuck in the prison of the mind,
yeah,
there are ways out. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. So what are ways to identify toxic femininity?
I'm so glad you asked. So I thought of some things that are like easy telltale signs,
yeah,
that either you yourself are toxic or the person you're sort of engaging with at the moment is toxic.
Okay. Okay. I like that.
So let's all really assess ourselves and see where we're at. Because, you know, me, I know after reading my own list that I made, I was like, wow, what a toxic ass bitch I used to be.
But you crawled through the shit and you're on the other side.
I believe that right now I am in this shit tunnel.
Okay.
I'm clawing my way across 5 football fields into the river.
Okay.
With a plastic bag tied around my leg. I'm there. I'm in the tunnel of shit.
Okay.
So, like, you know, it's good to assess, because then you can start to move. So first on my list is, does not operate within the parameters of intersectionality. We talked about this at the top of the show. Intersectionality is not just, I acknowledge the struggles of Black and Brown women and I appreciate them and the additions they bring to feminism. No, it's more than that. It's about engaging with all types of women and femme identifying people. Mm-hmm. Like opening your fucking eyes.
Yeah, uplifting them, right?
There you go. Mm-hmm. Uplifting other people, listening to them and not feeling like you have to A, defend yourself.
Yeah.
Or B, put them down so that like they feel less right. If they're right, they're right. That's it.
Yeah. Especially, I think this would be a great one for white women who have the upper hand on all the other women. Like, if you support and uplift women of color, femme bodies, whatever, like, you're doing good work.
The second one is a really big one, and I think it's a big, easy one for us to all assess within ourselves. One of the top signs of toxic feminist being Lena Dunham.
Whatever she does, you do the opposite.
Right. Like, look at yourself in the mirror and be like, am I Lena Dunham? No? Okay, great. Am I talking to Lena Dunham? No? Also great. You've checked that box off.
Do I, like, see myself in any of the characters she has ever written?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do I see myself in her book that she wrote about herself?
Right.
That's a problem.
Right. And, like, fix it. Please.
Mm-hmm.
Please. Okay.
Please,
okay.
God. Copy. Speaking of God, another sign, bringing religious morality into conversations about political policy.
Snaps on this one, girl. Snaps. Mm-hmm.
We live in the United... Well, depending on where you're listening to this, we live... Most of our audience lives in the United States of America, which is a democracy. It's a capitalist democratic society, which means there's no room for puritanical religious laws in our system. You cannot prevent healthcare for women and access to healthcare based on something God told you.
Right.
Because A, I don't think God really told it to you specifically.
Right.
And B, that's not how God operates. And C, we can't even prove if any of the gods are real.
Yeah. I just like, how about if I believe in a god, but it's not like your, it's not your god that's telling you to do this thing to me.
Exactly.
It's just very, exactly. It gets very hairy. And also like a lot of these things, like these policies that you're talking about were voted in or like brought to floors of state legislatures and, you know, our Congress by men. But there are, but that's just like, there are women. There are enough women that could be like, hell no, Bill. Go back to where you fucking came from. But they don't. And they keep voting on party lines, which is very fucking dangerous.
And that's how we know that these types of women are toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're denying the simple thing of denying reproductive health.
Or just like health in general, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So... yeah.
Another important sign, slut shaming.
Oh, yeah.
We are all too old to be out here slut shaming each other. And I don't care how old you are, you're too old to slut shame people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sex between two or more consenting parties.
I see where you're going. Okay.
Yeah. It is normal. And if one person decides to have lots and lots of sex, regardless of their gender and regardless of the gender of their partners, it's not nobody's business.
I also think that, like, if they want to dress a certain kind of way because they're really trying to get it in that night, like, maybe just let them, just let it ride. Unless it's your friend and you're like, girl, that skirt is two sizes too small. I see your labia. It's not a cute look. Let's change. Help each other out. You know what I mean?
If I want to walk outside with my labia pa fuera... then that's not your business.
As your friend, I at least need to say something to you like, excuse me, I see your labia. Do you want that out or no?
Well, I hope you enjoy the view. That's all that I have to say about that.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's going to be the name of the podcast.
Labia pa fuera.
Oh, my God. I see here a really good thing that you put in the notes. So let's talk about...
yeah.
Non-white feminists of note.
Yes. So, because that ties into, like, the last thing that I feel like people really need to think about Where do you derive your feminist theory from? And is it coming predominantly from white cisgendered women? Because if it is, you've got a gap. You've got a gap in your education.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's like if you really think about it and you're like, where do I have like where do I fall on the spectrum of all of this shit and what do I believe in and what do I think is right and true? If you just kind of like if you're like, wait, where did I pick this all up from? And it's just kind of like an echo chamber or just like you're parroting shit that you've heard from other from just like white women, then you are really you're really missing like a big chunk of the pie.
Yeah. And like, this is not to say that we all need to stop fucking with Gloria Steinem
No.
because I like her. I love
No.
me a good Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Fantabulous.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, add a couple carrots to your salad, you know? Put some spice in there. Get some salt, get some pepper, get a tomato, something different. So, in case you need help looking for anyone different, I have some recommendations.
That's it. Now it's time where you should get a pen and a paper and write these bitches' names down. Oh, I don't know. I know
I
you don't like
wish.
this. Whatever. I use the word
It's
bitch.
okay. I know how you meant it. I know how you meant it. We're cool. We're
I use
cool.
it as a term of endearment.
I know. I literally read a book, which, oh my God, I should suggest this book to people. I read this book very recently, sort of about feminism and the English language. So if anyone is interested, it's the I have it in front of me. The book is called Word Slut.
Ooh, I like it already.
Sexy. Yeah, it's very sexy. And it's a feminist guide to taking back the English language. The author is Amanda Montell. It's really, really good. It talks a lot about where certain words come from, shit like that. It also explains why we like saying, even the most feminist of feminists likes saying the words a bitch, shit, cunt, dick, things like
Those are
that.
like some of my favorite words.
Yeah, this book explains why we like them so much.
Maybe can I borrow that book from you?
Oh yeah, bitch, I only have one chapter left. I'm almost done.
Okay, great. Thanks, bitch.
Anyway, going back, non-white feminists of note who have literature that you can read. My personal favorite and why she gets first mention is Dr. Roxane Gay, who has, I want to say it's either three or four, has three or four books out. One of them being her seminal work, Bad Feminist, which is amazing. It's an amazing book about how being feminist is hard and there's a lot of layers to it. Like she talks about how she's a super feminist, but when songs like, fucking Back That Ass Up comes on, she just wants to jam.
Dang, that's relatable.
Super relatable content. She has some other books that are a little more hardcore. Difficult Women was very hardcore to read if you're like a sensitive person like me. She had another one. Oh, It's Not That Bad or Not That Bad is the title. And let me tell you, reading it is that bad. It is truly that bad.
Fuck. That's more the advanced level, so save that
That's your advanced level feminism if, right there. Next, we have Angela
for last. Who's
Davis,
my personal
which,
favorite?
right, if y'all are sitting listening to this podcast and you don't know the name Angela Davis, if that doesn't have instant cachet with you, I'm
I'm gonna
disappointed.
need you to Google it because she was fantastic, or is fantastic.
Google Angela Davis before you Google Todrick Hall.
Yes, that's a priority. Angela Davis
Fair.
first.
Then we have bell hooks. Lowercase b, lowercase h. Don't get it twisted. She does that on purpose. Audre Lorde also has much literature that people can read. You mentioned this young lady earlier in the show who's, I want to apologize because I'm about to butcher this name. I am sorry for butchering your name if by any chance you're listening to this. Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
I mentioned her earlier.
She's the one who does the part in the Beyoncé song.
Oh, yes. Did you have you seen her TED Talk?
Yes, I've also read her books.
Oh, dang. Aren't you like a smarty pants bookworm?
I love
Oh
reading.
my goodness.
But I feel like I definitely butchered her
I
name,
think that
so
was
if
really
anyone
good, though. I think that was a good
I tried.
try. It was a good college try.
When I was reading one of her books, I just spent a long time, one time, looking at the cover and reading her name and just sounding everything out how I think it's pronounced.
Yeah.
And that's just what I went with. So if anyone listening to this knows how to pronounce her name properly, slide in my DMs and like spell it phonetically so I cannot be out here looking stupid because somebody, not going to say who, likes to come at me if I pronounce something wrong.
I'm just trying to help you out, mama, so you don't look crazy to other people, like, you know, mixed company and whatnot.
Moving on. We don't need to get into it. We don't need to get into it. Actually, you know what? I would like to get into it. Do people pronounce it? The Brooklyn slash New York people, is it pronounced Pulaski Bridge or Pulaski
Bridge? Bitch, it's pronounced Pulaski Bridge. It's Polish. It's Pulaski.
I don't think that's what it is.
Oh my God, lady. It's the Pulaski Bridge. Why would it be Pulaski? When has a Polish person ever been a sky? It's ski.
Do you think I know any Polish people?
I mean,
any Polish bridge builders? No, I don't.
Oh my goodness. You know what? Have these New York, all these New York Jersey people, the whole three of them that listen to this podcast, slide into the DMs and be like, is it ski as in we're skiing down the mountain, or is it sky as in the sky is blue?
It's not the opposite. How many names end in S-K-I and they're pronounced ski? Like fucking Mike Wazowski from Monsters Incorporated.
All of them are pretty much pronounced ski. They're not so sky.
Why are you coming at me about sky?
Because it's not sky. You're saying it's Pulaski, and I'm saying it's the Pulaski Bridge.
I don't think so.
All right. Well, we're going to let the people decide.
Okay. Well, I hope none of your Floridian crew tries to slide in the DMs being like, oh.
Just take the Cuban side and it's Pulaski Bridge.
I just want everyone only from New York.
Only our New York people who like know the bridges and tunnels of this goddamn area will count. And it's the Pulaski Bridge.
Okay. The last one was Tarana Burke. Tarana Burke, founder of the Me Too movement. And the nice thing about Tarana Burke is that Tarana Burke is also like accessible to the youth of today.
Yes.
Being on Twitter and being active in the social media realm.
Yeah.
So if y'all are too lazy to read an entire book, you can follow Tarana Burke. You can also follow Dr. Roxane Gay. Although she doesn't tweet as much, but when she does, it's prolific, I must say. She once properly folded a fitted sheet.
That's a two-person job. She did it by herself?
No, she did it by herself. She did it by herself.
Wow. This is a woman of many traits and skills.
Yes. I mean, I don't know how she hasn't won some sort of award for that, but I'm sure it's in the mail.
Her Pulitzer and fitted sheet award is in the mail.
Fantastic. All right. We're at the end. We've launched ourselves into pools of shit.
We sure did. This is going to be a long one.
We're hoping to come out on the other side, you know, Morgan Freeman style. Find that boat. This is random, but speaking of boats, you saw Titanic, right? You're a human being.
Yeah, I'm a human being. I saw it.
You're a human being with eyes. Who was that? I want to say it was like MTV was doing an interview with Leo and Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
Or whoever is in that new movie.
It's Margot Robbie.
There we go. And they were like, the interviewer was like, so Leo, do you think that your character in Titanic could have fit on the door? Leo's just like, no comment.
Really?
Saying no comment. And like, Brad and Margot were like debating it, and Leo's just there like, well, like I said, I don't have a comment on it. And then, you know, my man was like, it occurs to me now that in all these years he's never answered that question.
He's not going to.
People ask him if he thinks he could have fit on the door, and he's just never answered
it. Yeah, I don't think he will ever answer it.
One of the great mysteries of our generation.
I think he's probably trolling all of us, or just like so sick and tired of that fucking question.
Or both.
Yeah, it could be both. But that's a really good question. Good for them for asking. You got to shoot your shot.
Mm-hmm. So.
That's so good.
Do you have a flor?
I guess I do. It's a flor, maybe not a flor. I don't know. But I just want to, I want to give a shout out to my little baby sister.
Ooh.
Who is straight crushing it these days. This girl, she is a proud owner of an Emmy. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Oh, okay.
The big shiny shit, you know, a big trophy, some hardware.
I touched one time. It's very heavy.
It really is really heavy. So my little baby sister was nominated for some work she did last year, 3 Emmy nominations. And she won one of them, which means she got a trophy, an Emmy. And now she's like, I mean, she was before, but now it's like the hardware solidifies that she's a boss ass bitch. And like, please try to come for her because she's going to fucking slit your throat.
With the Emmy, because it has a pointy end.
Yeah, it has 2 pointy ends because they're like wings. Ooh. So I'm just like so proud of her and like so happy for her. And I keep making this joke, but it's like super true. Like she's going to be supporting me for the rest of her life. And I'm just like, it's going to be great if she just like continues on this path, you know, on just like just being a boss. So I just been really happy. And I just been like showing the pictures off to like literally anybody that will like watch pictures on my phone because we took pictures of her.
That's
getting
funny,
them.
You didn't show me.
I didn't, but I will. And there's like a video. Wow. There's like a video and everything, and I'm gonna show you the video and you're gonna have to sit there and watch it like if I just had a baby and I'm just like showing you my pregnancy videos. That's how
I believe you waited this
long. Yeah, or it's like if I got a dog and I'm just like, here, watch him sleep, watch him eat, watch him shit. Like that's how I feel about this.
I have seen pictures of your dog.
wait, you have?
His torn ACL.
Oh, my little poor Boo Bear tore his ACL. There go his hoop dreams. And oh, but he's recovering nicely. And I guess that's the flaw. He's recovering nicely. And everything's going to be okay. The hair on his legs are growing back. And he's fine. Sometimes he has to wear, like, the flotation device. But, like, most of the time, no. So it's just been, like, a really crazy time in my family, but I'm so proud of everybody.
It's a lot
happening. Yeah, I'm just like so proud of everybody, and I'm just so glad that currently while we're recording this episode, it's a long weekend and I get to fucking sleep in because I'm very tired. So that was it. That's everything that's going on with me, all of my feels. What are you doing? Like, what is your flor?
Oh man, well, I'm just swimming in a garden of flors, but I'm going to pick one and share it with the people. The show Working Moms on Netflix is so fucking good.
I never heard of it until now.
Yeah, I just really, I enjoyed that show. I saw it and I'm like, I don't know if I'm that interested. But Netflix kept pushing it to me. Netflix is a pusher. Mm-hmm. So one day I was like working from home and I needed to take a break because I was getting a lot of emails and I was really stressed out. So they're 20 minute episodes, a little north of 20 minutes. So I'm like, let me just watch this and it'll be like my brain break. And in 2 days I got through the first 2 seasons.
Dang, girl, that's like a season a day.
Pretty much, yeah. I was going hard because it was like a Friday that I was working from home. So Saturday was mine to do with as I pleased, and I pleased to watch Working Moms. And then season 3 just dropped on Netflix like 2 days ago from when this is being recorded, and I'm already done with it.
So I'm gonna add it to my list and I will report back if it's actually this good.
Bro, it's so funny. And I feel like, and this is gonna be a hot take, but I don't care, I feel like after Fleabag ended,
which is a fantastic show, everyone needs to watch it,
amazing, but it left a gap in my soul,
yeah,
for something that was both funny and inappropriate and centered around women characters.
Yeah.
Like there was just, I mean, and yeah, there's Killing Eve, but it's not a comedy,
yeah,
you know, it's a bunch of fucking intrigue. So that's why I really like Working Moms. I feel like it kind of it's helping to fill the gap left by Fleabag and Hot Priest.
Oh, Hot Priest. Blessed his soul.
Let's have a moment for Hot Priest.
Oh, man. Yeah. If you guys don't know Fleabag or Hot Priest, what we're talking about, it's an Amazon original series. It's only two seasons because they're BBC people and they're just like, we out. And she's gone like really big. And so she's like, I can do movies now and make way more money. So I think that's the trajectory that she's heading in. I also think that she's like doing theater and stuff. I don't know. She's like a Renaissance woman and she's fucking.
She also writes for Killing Eve.
She does write for Killing Eve. Yeah. Bringing it full circle. So. Okay, we're going to have to watch Workin' Moms on Netflix, and whoever has not seen Fleabag on Amazon, get to it.
Yes. And for those of you who have seen Fleabag, please note that I am in no way saying Workin' Moms is as good as Fleabag. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it fills the gap of a woman-centered comedy that also uses profanity in an amount that I find pleasing. Okay? They're not the same.
That was like a disclaimer of don't at me.
Yeah, that was don't at me. Because obviously if I had to pick which one is better, I am going to pick Fleabag. Yes, I'm not crazy here. But Working Moms, it stands on its own. It's funny. It talks about mommyhood as well as like other shit. Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot from watching it about motherhood and pregnancy. And I did ask a mom. I was like, hey, I know you watch this show. Do you feel like some of the stuff they're depicting is very accurate? And she's like, no, this is literally how it happens. I'm like, wow, fuck.
Okay, so uncool. So tread lightly because I'm just going to be like, all these things are going to be thrown at me. And I'm like, no, I don't want any of these things to happen to me.
Oh, also, I just hit up my friend in Japan to be like, hi, I talked about you on my podcast, just so you know. And his response was, no, you did not. So, TBD on how that goes.
No, you did not. I find him to be super sassy and like rolling his neck and eyes, and
might be, I don't know.
Well, fuck him.
No, he's a nice boy aside from the thing that pissed me
okay
off.
All right,
so this is, if you're keeping track with us at home, this is full episode because we have our bonuses. This is full episode number 9 for our first season. And just like a Netflix show, the next episode we do, whenever that comes out, will be the last for season 1.
We did it. We made it. Oh my God.
Almost. So we hope you join us for our season finale, which is going to be excellent. We're bringing back the corned beef.
Oh, my God. Corned beef.
Oh, yeah. So we're bringing everything back. So we hope you join us for episode 10, the finale for season 1. After that, we are going on another hiatus. But the good news about that is we will be recording while on break. So these extended silences from us will not be as bad on season 2.
Shut up. I cut these out.
No, extended silences as in us dropping an episode and then 3 months later not having anything.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Bitches be vacationing.
Bitches do be vacationing. Okay. Well, with that, I feel like we should say bye, right?
Yes.
Okay. Bye.